Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here in Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Praise God. I got a bunch of fanatics here tonight, so we're... Amen. Glory to God. Last week, we began a study beginning in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, and we'll turn there tonight. That will also be our golden text for this entire week. The Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, or that we might receive what the Spirit promised through faith. So, as always, faith is at the heart of receiving. Amen? All right, now, notice here, we see the curse. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Then we see the blessing of Abraham. And then we see what the Spirit promised Abraham. Amen. So we're talking about the curse, we're talking about the blessing, and we're talking about the promise. Praise God. Now, let's go to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy once again. And the first 14 verses is the blessing of Abraham. And then from verse 15 on is the curse of the law from which we've been redeemed. And I made mention of it last Friday, that if you ask most Christians, I'm talking about, you know, born again people that know God. But if you ask them the straight question, what have we been redeemed from? You kind of get a blank stare. Well, we've been redeemed from sin. Well, yes. But that's all involved in being redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. So now, I want us to notice once again, we talked about this last week, but it's so vitally important. Look at the first verse, and we'll notice the way that these verses are constructed. It shall come to pass. Do you notice that? It will. Say, it will. It shall come to pass that if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you shall hearken or listen. If you'll listen to the voice of the Lord thy God. Amen. Shut up and listen. If you listen it will come to pass. But now also, look at the 15th verse. But it shall come to pass, if you will not listen, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Well, now, before we get any further with this, it says, yes, Brother Copeland, but now we're talking about the law. Yes, isn't that wonderful? Amen. This is the word of God, you understand. This is not something bad, it's something good. Amen. But don't you remember that in the in the book of Romans, very plainly says what happens if you love your neighbor as yourself, that you not only fulfill all his commandments, and if there be any other commandment, it is fulfilled in love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. But we've got people that still won't listen to that. Well, I believe that's under the law. Well, I'm going to tell you something, darling. The curse is still here. Whether it is under the old covenant or the new covenant, it is still here. Even though it's been defeated, because Jesus bore that entire curse. He satisfied and defeated that entire thing. Well, then what's wrong? All right. Now, let's move right over to the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Now, in this 28th chapter, particularly in the curse, go ahead and look up that 30th chapter, and I'll catch up with you in a moment. We found out that every sickness and every disease, every plague not written in this book of the law is under that curse, or is a curse. I want you to make this firm. I know I'm not having to teach this to anyone in this room, but there's a lot of people watching tonight. A lot of people could very well be hearing this for the first time. Amen. And have been taught that sickness in some cases is some kind of blessing in disguise. It is never a blessing. Never, ever. Now, I have heard and read after some things that, well, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, just there are certain things that you just won't learn any other way. He'll put sickness on you. That's a lie from hell. That is a lie. He has never done that, and never has, and never will. The only person that God ever brought sickness on was Jesus. Amen, because Jesus bore, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Hallelujah. Not only that, he bore our sins. That's bigger than the sickness. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, now how did he bear our sicknesses when he was made a curse? Our sins when he was made a curse. That's when we were redeemed from sin, sickness, demons, fear, poverty. Hallelujah. Now, just for as a matter of a reminder, the curse is threefold. Now, you can read through this entire 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. You'll find spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. And a subordinate to poverty is debt. So now, what is redemption? Spiritual life. New life. Amen. Being born again. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. My words are spirit and they're life. Amen. So the new birth, or being a new creature, born again, old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. And healing and prosperity. That's the blessing of the Lord. Now, in prosperity, it's not just financial prosperity. No, it's the true prosperity is the God-given ability to meet every need. Every need. Come to a high place in everything desired, spirit and soul and body and financially and socially. Glory to God. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. So, in talking about the curse, we come into that place and to realize, even though, and we dealt with this to quite a degree last week, even though when you read words like in the 22nd verse, the Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, and with inflammation, and so forth. Actually, that's not what that said in the 15th verse. It says it'll come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, all these curses will come on you. It didn't say anything about God having to put them on you. No, they're there. Amen. It's still that way today. Even though it has been completely defeated, it's still out there. And it'll function. Like Gloria says, the sun will shine on anybody that'll get out in it. Amen. And if you get out there, you're gonna get some sunshine on you. So, and maybe we'll get into that in more detail a little bit later. But now, to deal with the will of God. What is the will of God for all men for all time? Is it God's will to heal every time? Is it God's will to prosper every time? What is God's will? Now remember, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow of turning in Him. That just simply means he's not about to change. No, He's not changing. And He's not changing His name. Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee, is still Jehovah Rapha. He's not become Jehovah the one that makes you sick. And He hasn't stopped healing, because if He did, He would say, well, I guess I'm not that anymore. So don't call me that anymore. I'm not that anymore. Amen. Now, all right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is God declaring his will before his people Israel. Verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. In other words, you don't have any excuse. I'm calling heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose. Now the understood subject of the sentence there is you. I wrote that in my Bible, just right out there by that. Therefore, you choose life, that both thou, or both you and your seed may live. That's his will. He is stating his will here. I want you to live. I want your children to live. I want them to be blessed. Amen. I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you choose life, that you may love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. And the length of thy days, he's the length of your days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, in my heart and mind, that settled the question. So I see this like this. God's already made his choice. He made his choice. He is saying, look, I want you. I love you. I want to talk to you. I want to give you life and life abundant. Now, I'm jumping out ahead of myself here, but this is a good place to understand this. Jesus came, born of a woman, into the earth in response to that. See, that's the will of God. And Jesus came to fulfill that. Hallelujah. That's a good place to say amen, right there. Now notice what he said. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave to him. He's saying, hey, come on. How can you obey his voice if you can't hear him? People say, well, God doesn't speak to me. That's not what he said here. He's talking all the time. We've been so spiritually dense we couldn't hear it. That's the problem. It's not with God. Would you dare? Would you possibly dare go get in your car, flip on the radio, nothing, and you move the dial, and nothing. What's going on here? Well, I'll tell you what, I better call those folks. There's something wrong with their station. They're not saying anything. If they were saying anything, I would certainly know it. Nobody ever does that. You fix the radio. It's not the fault of the station. Amen. Back in the old days, you go check the tubes. Yeah, none of y'all remember that. None of you kids do. Yeah, so I looked at some of you grinning around. You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, it got to be really something, man. You could even go to the 7-Eleven store and check your radio tubes. What is that, Mr. Copeland? I don't have time to tell you what. If you don't know, let them that are ignorant stay ignorant still. Praise God. Amen. No, there's something wrong with the radio, not the station. But then when you get over into spiritual things, people try to blame it on God. I don't know why you didn't tell me about that. Don't you care? Don't you ever let that come out of your mouth. I mean, you slap, you stuff a rag in your mouth. You do whatever it takes. Don't ever accuse God. Listen, hey, don't ever accuse him of not caring. He is on your side. But the devil will do everything he can to get that in your mouth. Because if you'll play with that and start thinking that way and start talking that way, depression is right around the corner. And then it just gets deeper and uglier and deeper and uglier. What is that? Death, not life. Amen? Are we good so far?
Yes,
how much time we go to? All right. Now then, we talked about the curse, and we talked about God executing judgment. I want to go back and deal with that a little bit more for the matter of clarification. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And I want you to see actually what we're talking about here in verse 23. Exodus 12, 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite. This is talking about during the Passover. The Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. Well, now that looks like God's going to smite them. Like God's coming through, and he's the one that's gonna kill him. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house and smite you. So it really wasn't God killing anybody, was it? No. It was the destroyer. Amen. We talked about in the book of Malachi one of our tithing rights is God will rebuke the devourer, the destroyer, for our sakes. Glory to God. Man, I stand on that. Hallelujah. I use that a lot. Let's go back now, once again, to the third chapter of Galatians. Our golden text, Christ hath redeemed us, in verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now there's the curse of the law. And yesterday, as we closed, that's what that we were reading in and talking about, the curse of the law. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. There's the blessing. That we might receive what the Spirit promised Abraham through faith. All right. Now, thank you, Lord. Oh, there's so much here that I... The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Redeemed from the curse, being redeemed from spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. That's wonderful. But we're not just redeemed out of something. We're redeemed into something. glory to God. Go with me to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance or the promise of the saints in light, who hath, that's past tense, who has already delivered us from the power, or the Greek word is authority, delivered us from the authority of darkness. Let me put it like this. Who delivered us from the authority of the curse. Delivered us from the power and the authority of the devil, the author of the curse. But that's not it. That's not all of it. And, oh, glory to God. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. That's what happened to you and me. Now, he did that. That was absolutely accomplished, ratified when Jesus was raised from the dead and stood before God. A born again, resurrected man. Hallelujah. Then seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Now, when you and I accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that happened. It had already been ratified. Already an absolute in heaven. But when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, I mean, you're not just a forgiven sinner. No, the scripture says any man in Christ is a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All that happened because we've been redeemed from the curse. Thank you, Lord. And you accepted Jesus. You accepted your redemption. And that mightiest of all miracles took place. And your very self, you, the real you, not your body, not your intellect, you, amen, were recreated, born from above, born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So now notice, look at it again. I mean, this is just, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He has delivered us from the power of the curse and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Redemption. What does that mean? In whom we have redemption. Redeemed from what? Curse. Say it again. Curse. The curse, which is everything bad. Amen. I don't care if it's bad, it's under that curse. Amen. If it's good, it's in the redemption. Amen. There's nowhere, there is no place that Jesus and the devil swap sides. Where the devil blessing somebody and Jesus cursing them. No. So, the curse judgment until we get to the final judgment. And just end this thing. And so forth. I won't go into all of that. But judgment is a function of reaping what you sow. And again, I mentioned this last week, but you think about it a minute. 99 out of 100 people, and you say, I mean, whether Christians or not, you mention judgment, well, it's bad. Oh, judgment is coming on America. You mean it hadn't already? What do you think 9/11 was? But we're still here. You know why? Would you like me to tell you why? Because there was untold numbers of people fell on their faces before God and repented. If my people called by my name, didn't say anything about the whole nation. If my people called by my name will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will heal the land. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Glory to God, glory to God. And what I see the Lord doing with us and what he's attempting to do with the body of Christ is get us over here on the positive side. Get on the God side of everything. I wrote it right in the very first, in the first page in my Bible. Stay on the God side of everything. Amen. So, to realize and to understand that it is not God's will to judge and destroy. Now, judgment, both good and bad, is a function of reaping what you sow. And if you have any sense at all, you keep one hand on just one hand on repentance all the time. Oh, quick to forgive, slow to anger. Amen. And quick to repent. I mean, just stop and repent right now. Don't let it get 10 seconds old. Just stop and say, wait a minute. Now, I told you, I said I'd done that 1,000 times. I really didn't. I did it 3. So will you forgive me for just lying to you? Well, Brother Copeland, now, wait a minute. You're just being picky. Oh, yeah. Because we're in training. Amen. If you'll deal with the little stuff like that, and you train yourself to speak the truth to one another in love, all the time about everything. And when you do, when the big stuff comes along, you won't lie. Didn't get much of a big amen out of that, but we've been redeemed from all that. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. All right. Now then, let's talk about the blessing. Last week, let's do it again this week. Let's go to the book of Genesis. And God said, man be in our image. Verse 26. After our likeness. Remember, I told you the Lord allowed me to see that in a vision and really, oh, just it was just so clear to me that when you see from the second chapter that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, or he spirited into his nostril the spirit of life, and man became a living soul. And I saw that, the Lord allowed me to see that he had made his body out of dirt and formed it, and it was just lifeless, hanging there. And he had him by the shoulders, and he was speaking life to him, man be in our image, after our likeness, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his image he created him. So as the spirit life went in to that physical body, amen, this human being, exactly like God, and then he blessed them and said, fruitful, be, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Complete and total dominion and blessing in every realm of life. And that's the first thing the human ear ever heard. Now, the blessing was in the earth. That's the blessing of the Lord. And it was introduced into the earth, and I don't care how many devils try to get it out, they can't do it. No demon has the authority to remove that blessing. Now, you can not walk in it, but you can't get rid of it. Oh, glory to God. Amen. All right. Now then, let's go over to Genesis 9. Now, everybody knows the story. We're starting over again here. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That sound familiar? Yes, sir. Amen. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. A little bit different set of words, but exactly the same blessing of the Lord. It's the same blessing. Now then, let's get into the blessing of Abraham. Now, the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Now, Ham and Japheth did the same thing with that blessing that Adam did with it. But Shem did not. He stayed with God. Amen. Now I'm going to show you something here as we go further into this. Genesis chapter 12. Now, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go now to the 14th chapter. And go down to the 17th verse. And, you know, he had to deliver Lot and so forth. Verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, that was Shem. Amen. And you can find it in Jewish records and Jewish history. He stayed with it. Now, Melchizedek is a title. It means Lord, Mayor, High Priest and Authority of Salem. So, he came, brought forth bread and wine, covenant elements. Now, folks, come on, get in here with me now. Covenant. I'm gonna just drop this on you and then move on. Adam, after he really was just lost. Full of fear and shame at what he had done, and tried to make clothes out of fig leaves. Can you come on? Don't you know? Can you imagine how ridiculous that must have looked? A fig leaf suit from somebody that never sewn anything in his life. Amen. So what happened? God made a covenant with him to meet his needs. Killed an animal. Covenant came on the scene. This has been God's way of getting back what Satan stole. His blood. The shedding of blood. And he made him some proper clothes. Now, hey, if you had a fur suit made by God, you're probably pretty good looking. Of course, you ain't nothing like you had been a few days before, because you were clothed from the inside out. They had never seen their naked bodies. They were clothed with the glory. Just like God. And you couldn't see the physical body because he crowned him with his glory. And that's what made it so startling. The light went out. Well, compared to that glory, just this physical, natural body even though he's physically perfectly proportioned, but he don't know. It's the first time he ever saw that. He'd been used to be clothed with the glory of God. And he saw this naked body. And to him it was ugly. And to her it was ugly. And they tried to cover it up. And then God moved in. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Don't ever, ever underestimate the power of covenant. That's the first covenant and the second covenant. Every word in this book, every promise in this book is a blood sworn oath. And sworn in the blood of animals as a type and reference, and then sworn in the blood of Jesus. And when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, that's blood backed. But we talked about the curse, where Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. We're talking about the curse, and then we talked about being redeemed from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles and that we might receive it by faith. This blessing, it became the blessing. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. The blessing. Say it. The blessing. Not a blessing. The blessing. Back a number of years ago, when the Lord first, all of the things I'm talking to you about Monday and Tuesday, now going into the Wednesday here, all of these things, I studied these for years and years. But all of a sudden, my spirit and my mind expanded, and I saw it. And the Lord said, from now on, anytime you write any form of the word bless, blessing, blessed, write it in all capital letters to impress me, the blessing, the blessing. And I still do it today. And I know there's people, you know, get texts from me or in a letter or something. All of a sudden, I just capitalize the word bless. I guess they think I'm just excited about it. Well, I am. But I'm still walking in obedience to the Lord for that. Now then, let's go back to Genesis 12 again, where we were yesterday. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now you notice he didn't tell him where the land was or what it was or anything else. He just said, I will show you. Amen. He intends for you to walk by faith. And this is the reason Abraham was so hugely successful with God. I'll show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Now that's the reason. That's the reason Abraham is in the place in which he is in tonight. Amen. The father of our faith is because God said it and he just do it. Amen. Just go check him out in his life and just watch how he does that. And then pattern yourself after him. Now, in the 14th chapter again, I'm going to spend a little time here with this. Verse 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheba, which is the king's deal. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now, I mentioned this yesterday, but this is important. Ham and Japheth, Noah's son, after the blessing came then to Noah to start things over again, same blessing. Ham and Japheth did the same thing with that blessing that Adam did with it and just walked away from it. But Shem did not. He stayed with it. And Jewish records show that Shem is Melchizedek, king of Salem. That's what the word Melchizedek means. King, Lord Mayor of Salem. That's his title. He brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. Now, listen very carefully at this. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God." That's covenant talk. Blessed be Abram of God. Abram is in covenant with God. This is Abram of God. You catch the import of that? Vital information. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. He didn't call God possessor of heaven and earth. He called Abram possessor of heaven and earth. And you'll see it. You'll see it. Look at the very next verse. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand and gave him tithes of all. Now, he just got to say, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and bless God. Stephanie's still looking at me like, okay, hold your place there. Go over to the book of Romans. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Heir of the world. Possessor of heaven and earth. That's just another way of saying it, isn't it? Come on, somebody ought to praise God for that. Hey! That the blessing of Abraham might come on. Whoa! Yes! And we've been raised up to sit with him in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can't shout about that, there's something wrong with you, that's all. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, praise God. Now, we can go back to the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, before I even read this, hey, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me. Thank you very much. That we might, by faith, receive the promise of the Spirit. Glory to God. Every word of this belongs to you. All these blessings are part of the blessing. All of these blessings shall come on you. Glory to God, just come on. Just come on. Just come on me. We got home from, we'd been gone for several days. Well, in fact, a few weeks on the road, and got home. And there was a little yellow 500 Mercedes convertible in my driveway, blocking my garage. And I drove up there, and I told Gloria, I said, wonder whose car that is. And I called, and called the office and talked to somebody. I said, there's a car in my driveway that doesn't belong to them. Do you know anything about it? Yeah, that's yours. No, I said, that's not mine. And, yeah, it is, it's yours. I said, where did I get it? They said, one of your partners just brought it to you. I was kind of dumbfounded. And I thought, oh, okay. So, and then of course, I got all excited and immediately got a rag, started rubbing on it, you know. And so... Beautiful car. But then I knew I had to go before the Lord with this. And I said, Lord, now I didn't. That's a beautiful car, and a nice car, and I received it. And I blessed my partners. Oh, my. But that car is not even part of my desire for a car. I never ask you for a car like that. What happened? He quoted that scripture to me. He said, you remember my word, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. I said, yes, sir. He said, boy, you just got overtook. And I'll tell you, I just have to tell you, Glory, I've just been getting overtook ever since. I mean, amen. Well, now you can see why. People that don't understand what we're talking about. It's not because God's so good to Glory in me. It's because God's so good. He's good to anybody. He'll do this for anybody. But when people don't know that, and they yield to the natural carnal mind and yield to the devil, who would give anything to stop that blessing from anybody else ever finding out anything about it, start talking just as ugly as they possibly can about you and me and everybody that gets any kind of blessing that's, you know, and get jealous. Whoa. Why? To stop it. Yeah. Now we know why. The scripture says, and you will receive in this life a hundredfold, and in the world to come eternal life. You'll receive in this life a hundredfold with persecutions. That's no reason to withdraw. Jesus is just letting you know, when you start prospering, you're going to get persecuted for it. Well, listen, when people... Now, this is... Glory to God. Remember, when people despitefully use and persecute you, they qualify you for the devil. Yes. You think they're going to persecute you over that? Wait till you double. Yeah. Double up. Just double up. Nobody really understands the power of the double. It's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Just figure it out. And it's not, that we're not even talking about the blessing. We're just talking about the math. You double a penny every day for 30 days, and it'll wind up $10 million. Now you turn that into a dollar every day, double it every day. I don't believe that. Well, that's your problem, not mine. May I help you? Would you like to have some good information?
Yes.
Google it, dummy. Forgive me for calling you dummy. You know how it's done. Google it. They'll tell you the same thing. That's the power of the double. What do you think? A hundredfold. Whoa. Well, that's the reason Satan is so vehemently against it. He just tries everything he can to persecute you out of it. Don't let him have it. Don't let him have that. Glory to God. It belongs to you, not him. Thank you, Lord. Now then, blessed, say blessed,
yes,
shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Well, that's about everywhere, isn't it? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, K-I-N-E. Now, kine to agricultural people were the work animals. This is whatever you need. Any kind of equipment to be thoroughly furnished. Your kine. Amen. Boy, I mean, right there in that one little verse. Man, I'm telling you what, there are trucks, tractors, there are airplanes, cars, everything you need is in that verse. Glory to God. Now, man, you can just really get overtook with this one if you just... Really, I'm blessed. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Woo! Blessed shall you be when you come in. Oh, that's wonderful. But blessed shall you be when you go out. Coming in and going. Glory to God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because of my father Abraham. I'm blessed because Jesus redeemed me from the curse. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. James 4:7. People are not your enemy. We're not fighting flesh and blood. You take care of the devils and the flesh and blood will behave. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Seven ways. That means he's hunting for a door in every direction to get out of your presence. Just begin to see yourself differently. John Osteen, back years and years ago, John and Dodie and Gloria and I are very, very good friends. And he said, and this is a good picture. You need this. That a ruler of the darkness of this world is walking down the street, and a bunch of little principalities and powers, little low-level devils, are getting assignments. And the ruler said, now you two go in that house. You two go in this house. And they came up here. They came up in front of John's house. And they said, and then one of them, the devil, said, can I go in there? He said, no, don't go in there. Stay out of that. Don't you go in that house. Them people will hurt you. Amen. And he said, I tell you, we ought to be so hard on the devil that every time you open your eyes in the morning, they say, oh, no, she's up again, Lord. Oh, no. No, not that EMIC bunch. No, no. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are we getting anywhere with this? Well, somebody ought to shout about it then. Glory to God. Oh, and this eighth one. And in fact, we're going to talk about this eighth one, then we'll begin on this eighth one again tomorrow, in tomorrow's broadcast. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses. And in all you set your hand unto, he will bless thee in the land. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. That means everything your hand finds to do, you ought to know it's blessed. Hallelujah. You may not be called as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. You may not have a calling on your life like that, but I don't care who you are, don't ever say you're not called. Every man and every woman before the foundation of the world, every person, every human being, their name is in the book of life. And what you're called to do, and what you're called to be, and there's no mention of sickness and disease in there. Now, that's not the Lamb's book of life. That's the book of destinies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when you get born again, whoa, you get put over in the Lamb's book of life. And that there is where I want to talk to you. Thank you, Jesus. Gloria said one thing about it. She would never marry a preacher. And she didn't. No, there was absolutely no possibility there. I'm talking about, you know, Kenneth B.C. And I had no... I had no sense of being called to preach at all. Now, there were certain things that I did have sense about. I knew I was a musician. I mean, from the very get-go, I knew I could sing. And then the music part of me, my dad found a little small Wurlitzer spinet piano. And this was before World War II, and it was a used piano. It was in excellent condition. But it was one of the last that you could buy that had a metal soundboard where it would stay tuned. Now, during the war, you couldn't get the steel. So they were wooden soundboards. And they would warp, and you'd get that, you know. And then, I mean, the thing would just change keys every few days, you know. It's just all over the place. But and Kelly still has that little piano. Wow. Well, when they brought it in, it was still on a dolly. I was, I was six, I think. I was seven when I started school. And so, and it was just my birthday fell at a time where it started, I was almost seven when I started school. And while they still had it on the dolly, I played. Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, Lord. I wish it had been Rock of Ages, but it wasn't. It was lay that pistol. It was pistol packing mama. Oh, my goodness. Now, I won't go through all of them. But the graces of God are there. And the grace to do whatever God created you to do is there to do it. Big time. Whatever it is. If you were called of God to teach school, then you can revolutionize the school system. But people don't realize this and don't understand it. This verse, this is huge. This blessing verse that we just read. Whatever your hand finds to do is blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, where we've missed it is particularly in the United States, but in other countries too, because it, you know, people perish for lack of knowledge. So, and you'd be surprised how many people don't want the knowledge. By teaching our children that you need to take these courses and you need to do these things because you'll be able to get the best job here and this job will make you more money. And one of the worst things that's ever come along is make such a big deal out of retirement. You're talking about retirement to a 16-year-old kid. I mean, come on, man. What do you want to retire for anyway?
Yeah, right.
Amen. You don't retire, you just change employers.
That's right.
Amen. Or if you get the right employer, you just work there all your life.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
But if God is your employer,
yes.
Let's say you make God your financier,
yes.
And your employer.
Yes.
So you've made your mind up, I'm going to work wherever you tell me to work. I'm blessed and I live by faith and I walk in your word. I'm not seeking my own will or my own thing here. Now, what do you want me to do? Amen. And don't be like this one kid I saw. Well, I don't want to call him a kid. He's a young man. And a young African-American young man. And there was a TV person interviewing some young people on the street, talking to him about a job. And he made a statement that just stuck to me. He said, "Ain't nobody gonna give me no job." You're right. Nobody even interested in giving you a job. That's plantation talk.
Amen.
Amen.
It was the plantation boss that came by there and said, "Here, boy, you put that all over there. When you get done with that, I'm going to give you another job. You got to go do this over here." What are jobs? You've been listening to the pastor, I know, and that's good. So, and that's right. But what is a job? It's a problem solver. I'm not looking to give you a job. I don't care about getting you a job. But if I have a problem, I might consider hiring you. Now you see the difference? That young man didn't understand that. And because of not understanding that, you begin to slide toward the socialistic system, which does try to give you a job.
That's right.
And tell you what you can do. And no. Now, if the job that I need satisfied is easy for a lot of people to do it, it's not going to pay very much. I'm just talking about in the natural world. But wait a minute. Let's get out of the natural world. Let's get over here in the supernatural world where you and I live, where our hands are blessed. Now, along with that same deal was, ain't no way I'm going to flip no burgers for no minimum wage. If I heard the Lord say, "I need you. I need you at Burger King or wherever. Some minimum wage job. I need you there." Well, now I'm over on the blessing. That's the job I'm looking for. Of course, he needs me there. Then I'm going to do it. I don't care if it don't pay minimum wage. I ain't going to sue nobody over it. I'm just going to go do whatever they need me to do. And I'm going to do it so cool and so good, man. It ain't going to be long. It ain't going to be long. They're going to some kind of need me. Yeah. I'm talking about Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He wound up in prison, man. But he turned the prison into something. Even the jailer say, oh, man, ain't this something? Look what that guy's doing here. The blessing. It was the blessing of the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It was God that was with him. That blessing was in him, and it was on him. And that excellent spirit of Daniel was in him, and it was on him. And I don't care if he's flipping burgers. I'm telling you, he becomes the king of burger flippers. He'll wind up owning the store.
Yes, sir. Glory to God. Glory. Yes, sir.
The key element. The key element. I am yours to command, sir. Where do you need me? Wherever it is, I'm yours, sir. I'm not interested in my will anymore. Now, my will must crumble. God's not looking for soft will people. He's looking for strong will people. I'm a very strong will man. But I'm very strong about doing His will.
Amen.
My will didn't crumble. It got placed in a different direction.
Amen.
My will and God's will have merged.
Amen.
Well, Brother Copeland, it's just so expensive to be in the will of God. Well, that's stupid. Words just kind of failed me, man. But I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
If I were to go do what God called me to do, well, my goodness, there's no telling where He's liable to send me. Why, if I were to heal, He's liable to send me to Timbuktu. Now, you've heard me say this before. Have you ever been to Timbuktu? How do you know you wouldn't like it? Let me tell you why I just keep being drawn right over here, particularly right here. Let me tell you why He's going to send you anywhere. I don't care if it's Timbuktu. I don't care if it's someplace in southern Brazil. I don't care if it's in Ohio. Wherever it is. You know why He's going to send you there? To be a blessing.
Yes.
You're going to take the blessing of the Lord, and you're going to improve the place where you go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And don't be surprised and shocked if He calls you into some poor, raggedy old neighborhood that you said, oh, Jesus. I mean, you know, I'm used to being at EMIC where we shout and everybody loves everybody, but I don't know about this. Lordy. Go change it. Go bring the blessing of the Lord there. Turn that poverty around in that neighborhood. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Be what Abraham was everywhere God sent him. He sent him in there in a drought, in a famine. He starts hitting wells. Well, he'd hit a well and somebody would take it away from him. Well, that's good. They needed it. Let's go dig another one. Yeah, just keep digging, brother. Now, you know, on the other hand, how crazy is it to be in the desert? Where you need water more than any other one thing. And you plug up the wells of Abraham because you don't like him. Go ahead, hit my face. I got it protected. Just go ahead. Just try to hit my face. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. The blessing. He just kept digging. Just kept digging. Just kept digging. The place prospered, so they thought the famine was over. But then they ran him out of town. And when they ran him out of town, you ought to read that in the Chumash. When they ran him out of town, the fruit trees dried back up. The famine wasn't over. It had been displaced. The famine hit again with a vengeance. And they ran after him. Please come back. Please come back. We won't treat you that way anymore. We'll enter covenant with you. We'll not. Hey, we'll kill anybody that tries to take your well away from you. Please, would you just come? Please come back. Why? Why did they want him so much? Because he was so good looking? No. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Say it. The blessing of the Lord belongs to me. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 And all that you set thine hand unto, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord giveth thee. Or he will bless you. Your land that he's given you is wherever and whatever he's called you to do. If he's called you to preach, if he's called you into the ministry of help, I'm telling you, he will bless it if you listen to him. Amen. And walk in love. And walk by faith. Love your neighbor as yourself. And love the brethren even as he loves the brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on here. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. That would be walk in love, walk in the anointing, and walk in faith. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, or they'll highly respect you when they finally see that God is in your life. And what you do and say works, praise God. I mean, they may talk ugly to you in the daytime and call you at night when they're in trouble. Well, that's all right. That's what we do. And that's what we're for. Oh, look at verse 11. The Lord will make you plenteous in goods. Now, did you ever stop and think that they call it dry goods? Huh? They don't dry bads. They're goods. Plenty of goods. Lots of goods. Amen. You're willing and obedient. Eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. The good. That means you ought to drive the good and wear the good and be involved with the good. Glory to God. The good of the land. Thank you, Jesus. Now, at the same time, you can't sit around and just criticize the politicians and talk ugly about them all the time. No, they're not fair game. They're part of our blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I said this last week. I'm going to bring it up to you again. God may not be able to trust you with the news broadcast. You get too upset at everybody. They ought not be talking about my president like that. Yeah, but they are, baby. Amen. And they're going to keep on. Yes, now, did you notice that the same spirit of destruction is working in Israel today?
Yes.
Against Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Yes.
There's no new devils.
That's right.
Devils are devils.
That's right.
And devils do devilish things.
Amen.
And they can't change themselves.
That's right.
Now, Satan might appear to be an angel of light, but he's not.
Amen.
Amen. So don't be looking to argue with the news broadcast and get all bent out of shape because they're talking ugly about somebody you like. Well, see, you don't have any more right to talk ugly than they do.
That's right.
Love them.
Yes.
And there are certain of them that need praying for every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
I'm not a fan of Chuck Schumer's politics. I'm just about 100% crosswise of his politics. But my brother and sister, Chuck Schumer is a Jew. Now you better keep your tongue to yourself. So's Bernie Sanders. This ain't the time. Don't be doing that. Say, okay, Brother Cooper.
Okay.
Now, that'll change your attitude about them. And when they come up on the TV screen, just turn the sound off.
Amen.
And say, Lord, bless that man.
Amen.
Bless him. Oh, God, bless him today. Open the eyes of his understanding. If he has things in his life today that are hurting him, if he's got things in his family that are hurting him, oh, help him, Jesus. Help him. The blessing of the Lord. You can just read down through each one of these. Verse 13, in talking about the blessing of the Lord, we're redeemed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. I like to read it like this. The blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us. Glory to God. Because without that, we'd have never gotten a hold of it. And in reading the blessing of Abraham, go through these. Take time. Look at other translations. And dig in, there's a lot of meaning here. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. There it is again. Now listen, now get this. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. You're a lender, not a borrower. Why? The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath if you hearken to the commandment of the Lord thy God. That is all one statement. Look at it again. You shall lend unto many nations. You shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. So, well, it looks to me like if it's all right to lend, it's all right to borrow. No, that's not true. If you go on and read in the curse, just the opposite then. You shall lend to none. You will always borrow. You will be the tail and never the head. Now, what is so dangerous? Why is borrowed money part being in debt? Why is that part of the curse? I questioned the Lord about it. I said, Lord, now I know you're not crosswise of my going to a doctor. What's the difference in going to a doctor and going to a banker? He said, Kenneth, you don't have to enter covenant to go to a doctor. You don't have to subordinate yourself to that doctor. That's the difference. See, covenant is huge with God. And you get covenanted to the wrong people. You get connected to people. Then you get into a place where you have what's in their life in your life. Now Satan has a back door into your life and you don't have any idea how he got in there. But you bowed your knee to somebody to get what they have. And there are people. In fact, at the same time that I was questioning the Lord about this, he said, Kenneth, I have churches that owe money to the mafia and don't know it. And since then, I've talked to people that knew of situation and conditions like that. I won't go into the details about it, but I don't want my pastor having to go to the mob to get money enough to build a building. We're not going there. But when I found out that the blessing of the Lord is more than enough, I don't have to go in debt. Yeah. I don't have to subordinate myself to anybody else. Yeah. One fellow called me one day and he said, Brother Copeland, he said, I'm just so blessed. I said, really? Glory to God. Tell me what happened. Well, he said, oh, man. He said, I'm just so thrilled. He said, one of my partners called me and said, now here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to put this letter of credit right there in your desk drawer. And anytime you need it, all you have to do is just activate that letter of credit to get anything that you need. He said, Kenneth, isn't that wonderful? I said, what happened to Philippians 4:19? Huh? Now see, that looks really easy for him to get that money on that line of credit. Man, that's dangerous. But in his mind, Philippians 4:19 is hard. I can't get it when I need it if I'm on Philippians 4:19. But if I'm on this partner's letter of credit, I can get it when I need it. Yeah, and you better watch out. You could wind up with, now I'm not saying that that would happen in this case, but then I know of case where it did happen, where you get over into a situation and wind up that those two or three people running your ministry in a way that you can't make final decisions because they own you. Brother Hagin just, he was about to go into a situation. It looked so good, and he was about to go into it. And the Lord put a stop to it. He said, don't you do that. He said, they have ulterior motives. They want to take over your ministry and control what you preach. He said, you better get away from there right now, and don't you go into that. He said, I'll supply the money for you. Amen. The Lord appeared to him to stop him from doing that. Glory to God. This is the reason why we have to get so serious and so involved and so studious about the blessing of the Lord. Glory to God. I don't need borrowed money. I don't need anything but Jesus. He is my source. He is my life. He is in His Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've been walking on it for 52 years now. Hallelujah. And 51 of it has been out of debt.
Hallelujah.
I sure not looking on going into debt now. Well, that's because you got all them partners. I thank God for my partners. Thank God for them. There's a lot of partners. More on the way.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
But the out of debt was before the partners. Amen. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
The out of debt was before I had any partner but Jesus.
Amen.
And Gloria. Amen.
Amen.
One, I was talking to Brother Keith. This man came in. He was the largest giver in the church. And he came in and he said, I don't like what you've been preaching. And he said, I've been warning you about it. He said, I'm taking my family out of here, and I'm taking the other families of, and so forth and so on, several families involved. And he said, I'm just here today to serve notice on you. We'll not be back to this church ever again. Well, he was standing there looking out of his window of his office and watching that man leave. And he said, Lord, there goes my biggest giver. The Lord said, no, I'm still here. I'm still here. Whoa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. He'll make you the head. He'll make you the head. I don't care where you go and what you do. He'll make you the head. He'll put you in charge. Hallelujah. You're faithful. He'll put you in charge. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say it. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed coming out.
I'm blessed,
I'm blessed in the city.
I'm blessed in the,
I'm blessed in the field.
I'm blessed in the field.
Whatever my hand touches, is blessed. Now build that up. Build that up in you. Learn to depend on that blessing. Glory to God. Expect it. Expect it. That's called hope. There is now faith, hope, love. Okay. Faith is now. Hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and love brings it to pass. Because that's God. Amen. The more that we study this blessing, and the more you expect it, that's hope. Amen. Glory to God, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm the blessed one. I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. He always blesses me. I'm always blessed. Always blessed. You get around Jerry Savelle, you won't be around him 10 minutes before you find out he's blessed and favored highly of God. Because he talks it all the time. That's what you and I are supposed to do. Gloria and I sometimes, I mean, this is our routine. We go to bed at night, and I get my phone and sit it there, and between the two of us, we listen to Brother Heath. And sometimes we get to preaching to one another, and have so much fun together. And oh, Gloria, I'll just over and over again, she'll say, Kenneth, do you realize how blessed we are? I say, yeah, Gloria, tell me about it. She says, well, look at this house. Look at how we are blessed. We just have everything. We've never asked God for anything that we didn't receive. We're just so blessed. He's so good to us. Kenneth, did you know God is so good to us? He is so good. I say, I know, Gloria, he's good. Yeah, but he's good to us. He is so good to us. Well, he's not just good to us. He's just good. For God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's one good, and he's God. He is God. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He is the God. He is, whoa. Now, you start practicing that. If you're blessed, then be blessed. Talk about being blessed. Think about being blessed. Amen. Do a selfie and say, hello, blessed. Yeah. Hello, blessed. I don't know. That's why y'all just talk all the time. You don't have to live in my shoes. Boy, I'm glad. Amen. Now, it takes firm quality decision. I'm going to talk to you now about this in our closing minutes here. If you're just now making a decision to come out of that kind of life, amen, it takes a strong quality decision. A quality decision is a word of God-based decision about which there is no more argument. This is final. And from which there is no retreat. There is no going back. From this day forward. Let me give you an example. Well, I believe the Lord wants me to fast for a few days. You know what's about to happen? You're about to eat about 9 of the biggest meals you have ever eaten in all your life, because you ain't never seen no kind of hungry until you start talking about the Lord wanting you to fast. You just announce to the devil that something's up. That's not an equality decision. There's no decision to that. That is kind of a, well, it wasn't a decision. It was a, I don't know what it was, but it didn't work. But when you come to that place where you say, I see where I'm blessed. And I'm not living over in that negative old poor is me world anymore. See, you have to make the decision to get out of there. You can't wait till you're blessed physically or mentally or financially. And then, well, as soon as I get blessed, I'll say it. You're going to stay in the ditch right where you are. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. No faith. We receive the promise of the Spirit by what?
By faith.
By faith. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. I am blessed, not because I feel blessed, not because I look blessed, not because I got any money. Glory to God. I mean, you may not have enough to rub two nickels together, but you're blessed.
Amen.
You're blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, as soon as I get some money, I'll say it. Oh, forget it. No, no. You need to get right down into what we've been talking about here for now 2 weeks, and we're going to go another week on this. We're going to get over into that promise.
Amen.
And when you get that kind of decision made, I'll tell you something else. I'm supposed to prosper.
Yes.
Yes,
right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I'm supposed to be well. I'm supposed to live right. I'm supposed to be well. I'm not supposed to be sick. I'm supposed to be healed. Glory to God. Start thinking like that.
Yeah.
And everybody seems like come out of the woodwork, try to tell you something different. Well, just say, ha, 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 glory to God. And particularly if you don't have a faith buddy, particularly if your spouse is still, you know, do like Gloria and I did. She didn't, Gloria, I did all the talking. She just hardly said anything. So I stayed in trouble all the time. And I'd say something, you know, and she said, that's your confession. I believe every word of it. And then sure enough, whatever it was, it just break right in front of my eyes. And I like what Keith and Phyllis Moore did when they were learning. one of them would say, boy, that hurts. I just don't think that's ever going to be healed. The other one would say, if you say so. Oh, listen, that'll change you right quick. Oh, glory to God. No, I don't, it's healed. Praise God. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's healed now. It's healed now. Say this.
I am
not the sick,
trying to be healed.
I'm the healed.
The devil's
trying to steal my health. I'm not
the broke
trying to get money.
I am the prosperous.
And Satan is a thief.
I'm healed.
I'm well.
I'm prosperous.
And I can do all things
through Christ
who strengthens me. I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
Well, stand up and let's give him praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
What is redemption? It's spiritual life, new life, being born again, a new creature, healed and prosperous. The Path to Redemption by Kenneth Copeland is an all-encompassing, relevant 15-message series on being redeemed from the curse of the law, receiving the blessing of the Lord, and inheriting the promise of God. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law so you can live healed, prosperous, and free. Every word in the Bible, every promise, is a covenant for you. Train yourself to speak His truth and stay on the blessing side of life. Live in the blessing where you are called to be a child of God. Take the blessing of the Lord and live in strength and joy. You have a covenant with God that gives you the same authority as Jesus. Receive the promise of God by faith. See yourself and those around you prospering, living right, and healed. Build, expect, and see the blessing and walk the path to redemption.
Begin to truly live in all God has provided for you because of redemption. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 and request your free copy of The Path to Redemption on MP3 disc, DVD, or as a digital download from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
When you accept Jesus, you accept the redemption that He bought and paid for you. If you'll pray with me right now to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, everything that we've been telling you about these last couple of weeks will be yours. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. You gave me your life. I give you mine today. In Jesus' name, amen. That is the first exchange you make with Jesus. You give Him your life. He gives you His. Now you can learn about all the rest of what He's given you. It's really an unfair exchange. We just give Him ourselves, and He gives us everything that's in the Word of God. If you prayed that prayer with me, you're born again, and it belongs to you. And you've been redeemed out of the curse and into the blessing. So to help you learn more about your new life in Christ, we have a free salvation package, a book called He Did It All For You, and also some information that'll help you start reading and studying your Bible and getting to know your Jesus even more. So to request your free salvation package, just go to kcm.org. Also, look around our website. We have a lot of free information, free teaching to help you grow spiritually. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, learn more about your new life in Christ. Request your free salvation package at kcm.org/salvation. Keep your faith strong with the Word of God and step into a year of abundant harvest.